Wonderful. Good morning. I was just telling David I came with two Bibles, so I don't know if I'm giving double the truth this morning or not. My name is Deacon Tyler, and I welcome you this morning, and today we're going to talk about love. The topic of love is one that is talked about, written about, people write songs about it, sing about it. I mean, it's one of the top topics out there, maybe the biggest topic, and it's important. And if we went into the Bible and we talked about all the stories about God's love and love, we could be here an infinite amount of time. We just talked about God's love, and it's important. And love is vital to us. People do crazy things in the name of love. I remember reading about some astronaut lady, and I don't remember, but she was driving to see her loved one. I think she went from Florida to Texas nonstop, and she didn't want to stop, so she put on some Depends. Because she was in such a rush to get there and knew she didn't want to stop to go to the bathroom. I mean, people do crazy things in the name of love. Why? Because love is a vital part of who we are. God created us to love. God created us to long to love Him, want to love Him. God created us to need to love Him. We have this innate desire to love, to have love, to be loved, and to be loved by God. And Satan knows this. Satan tries to get rid of the idea that we need love. And when he can't, because he knows it's a basic need, he will go and change it to distort it, to lie about it. He will send us down crazy paths to seek love where it truly isn't, which is anywhere but then the destination of God. He will send us blindfolded into the world. And people are out there. They are out there seeking love, this desire that can't be quenched, this thirst that cannot be quenched. He sends us out doing things that we resent, that harm us. So the truth is, brothers and sisters, we need to be able to identify love. And even more importantly, identify God's love. Because that is the perfect love. That's the love that we need to be able to know. And why is that? One, as believers, we have to know our Father. We have to know His love. And we have to know the difference between godly love and worldly love. Because if we don't, we will be lost. We will direct people in the wrong direction. As a non-believer, the Bible can be very, very confusing. It can be, quite frankly, it can go over your head, some of it. And even to believers, it can be difficult, the different aspects of the Bible. And what I mean by that is that we have a tough time letting God be in charge of our life. We don't want to let go of being the captain of our life. And as non-believers, they especially have this hard time, obviously, because they don't understand God's love for us, to let go of that. And so the idea of that, just 1 + 1 does not equal 2. And that it just doesn't compute. And so sometimes it's really important that we speak of love and grace. And really we talk about God in a way that they can understand. Because we talk about love. And even if you're not a believer, you understand that basic human need of love. And when we do, that is a universal language that you can speak to non-believers or believers. I want to give you an example of where it can be confusing even to a believer about love in the Bible. When I was first saved, Aaron knew me when I first got saved, probably less than a year. He was one of the first people, actually, because I went back to the University of Minnesota, Crookston. And when I started to go to school there, I was a smoker. 14 years I smoked. And, you know, we know that the body is the temple of God. If you're a believer, you know that that's true. And that if the Holy Spirit resides in us and our body is the temple, we should take care of it. Pretty black and white. There's no really gray area on that. And so to smoke is to damage the body. And so I was a smoker, and yet if someone came to me and said, hey, you should stop smoking, your body is the temple, you wouldn't have gotten very far. Because I knew the truth of it, and if I could have hit a button to stop smoking, I would have. But the truth is that I couldn't just stop smoking. But I was a believer, and I knew the truth of that. And so we have to realize that even when speaking to believers, it's not that we don't speak the truth. We have to make sure that it's rooted in love. Because if we don't, when we're wielding the sword of truth, if it's not rooted in love, it can be damaging. It can be rude. It can just not be taken very well. So praise the Lord. I have been a non-smoker for 11 years. I made a commitment to my wife that I wouldn't start smoking again unless she started smoking. So I guess I'm pretty good since she's never was a smoker. So love, we have to understand it. And we have to understand that in 1 John 4:8, that God is love. It says it actually in it says it twice here. Let me grab it here. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And if we go down to verse 16 as well, it says, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. So God is love. Synonymous. Those two words could be very equal, especially in the context that we're talking about here. And even more importantly, a lot of times as I'm talking to it, is God's perfect love we really need to think about. So as a believer, or if you're a non-believer, we need to know God's love. We need to know what it is, especially as a believer. We need to be able to identify it, because me, as a father of three, I need to be able to point my children to it. I need to show them it. And if I can't decipher between godly love and worldly love, then I'm pointing my own children in a dangerous direction. So let's talk about love. Love is something we cannot get enough of. As a basic human need, love is something that we cannot get enough of. Let's talk about water, right? My friend Thomas over there has been talking to me about quit drinking other stuff except for water. And water is so good for the body. But did you know that you can drink too much water? Right? And I'm not just talking about, like, you know, somebody shoving a whole bunch of water down your throat until you drown. I'm talking about you can just really drink too much water. And if you do, what happens is your sodium levels in your body will get so low that it's dangerous for you. So something that our body needs, if you get too much of it, it can be harmful to us. It's called natremia. I think I may have said it right. It's something like that. It's important. So our body needs sodium as well, but if we get too much sodium, you get what I have, and that's high blood pressure. And so too much sodium, too much water, but yet we need it. Well, love is something that is completely different because we cannot get enough of it. And since God is love, we can't get enough of God as well. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. I'll give you guys a moment because we're going to be on this for a minute. You pull it up here. 1 Corinthians 13. This talks about love. I don't know if you guys have read this. It's one of the more popular chapters about love. Weddings go through this quite a bit. But what I want you to remember when you think about this is God and love can be interchanged in this. So start off in chapter 13. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels but have not loved, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. As I mentioned, if you talk to me about quitting smoking, that is basically what I was hearing with somebody slamming some cymbals together. Because the truth is I didn't need anybody to tell me I needed to quit smoking. I just needed the Lord to help me. By the grace of God, I have. But I didn't need anybody pointing it out because I knew. So it's important that we're rooted in love, as I stated. Let's go down to verse 4. Love is patient. God is patient. God is always patient. So when you see patience, wow, you can identify that the Holy Spirit must be strong on that person. You know, I can be patient at times, but there's a lot of times I'm not very patient. And probably my weakest point at being patient is my children. It's very true. I'm ready to go somewhere and my children want to take their time and my patience runs thin really fast. My children want to eat at a snail's pace and my patience runs thin. One of the things that tests my patience is my children are very apt to spill at the dinner table a lot. I do things intentionally to figure out how to get them to spill less. Special cups, special bowls, everything. I try to figure out how to get them to spill less. My wife knows that this bothers me so much that it bothers her, but she said to me that she actually, I've seen her just grow in patience in this. She'll go up and she'll start cleaning it really quickly when she sees me getting frustrated. And she said to me, because she knows how much it bothers me, my wife jumped up in patience because of my lack of patience. Love is kind. God is kind. God is always kind. It's an absolute. We can't rely on worldly love, or I should say our brothers and sisters, to feed us this love, by the way. It's really important. My wife, who I love very much, I fail her. And if she relies on my love to fulfill her, then she's going to have a lot of empty nights because I will fail her. And God is always patient and is always kind. And I'm not. So if you're seeking these things from somebody else, I tell you, seek it from the source, from God. Love, it does not envy, and it does not boast. Love is not proud. Love does not dishonor others, which also in other translations is, love is not rude. Now, another aspect of these criteria of love, these aspects of love, is really important, is that God does not do a few of these and then break a few out of saying, these are okay, because I'm doing this. For example, when we jump down, love rejoices in the truth. So God doesn't go and use the truth and say, I can use the truth. Since I'm using the truth, it's okay for me to be rude. He doesn't do that, right? He is not rude while he still speaks truth into our life. And it's really important, because we will have the ability, or I should say we'll lean towards doing that. I lean towards doing that. I'm speaking truth to my children. I'm telling them the truth of things, and they don't want to listen. And so I get harsh because I want them to understand the truth. And now I'm starting to fail in love because I'm trading one for the other, which makes me wrong altogether. It's important, brothers and sisters, that we understand that love is all-encompassing of all these aspects. It's just not part of them. We don't get to pick and choose what part of love that we should be or we should receive. It's all of them. Love is not self-seeking. I have a rule with my girls. It's going to be for my son too, but he doesn't speak. Rule number 8 in my household is you will put others before yourself. I think one of the things they say about millennials, and this isn't to offend anybody if you're a millennial, is that they're very all about me. I'm just stating that that's what they say. I'm not a specialist in that, but that's what they say. Well, my children will not be rooted that way. They will not be all about me. Because if they're going to experience love and know love, they're going to know love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. I'm not very good at this one either. I have patience, but when my patience runs out and there's certain things that can get me to run out of patience very quickly, well, I can get angry fast. Last night, my son decided that last night was the time for him to have a fit. And I'm talking an absolute fit, would not stop crying. And no matter what I did, I couldn't get him to stop crying. I don't know how long it was. It seemed like an eternity. But I walked outside on the deck with my son and I yelled at my wife because she was in the dark mowing the lawn instead of taking care of the son. Which I probably should have already mowed the lawn. So then she could have been inside taking care of her son. But the fact is I had a screaming son. And when I have my son and he's screaming at me and I can't fix it, I'm frustrated because I don't know what to do. I feel like that I'm failing. And so therefore, I get mad. I mean, I'm talking to a child who can't talk back to me. I'm like, what is it that you want? What do you want me to do to make you happy? I have to work on not being easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrong. It's so important, brothers and sisters. If you feel wronged, go to the Lord, ask to help him to help you forget about it, to seek forgiveness and to heal from it, and then let it go. Because you're the ones that take the brunt of that. Love does not delight in evil. Love rejoices with the truth. Love always protects. God always protects. God's perfect love always protects. Do we always protect each other? You get in an argument with somebody, you protect them? Or do you use that little bit of information you know that you have up on them, or the truth of that argument, and you use it to strike them verbally and go, ha, this is the truth. You said this, but this is the real truth. And like an arrow just goes across the room and pricks them. They either get angry or hurt. But we don't like to lose arguments. So we're going to wield our arrows. Love always protects. When you love somebody, we protect them. Love always perseveres. My wife last night took my son into the bedroom and comforted him, and I think she was in there for like an hour or something like that. And I might have had him for like 15 minutes. And she just calmed him down and was with him, and I sat there thinking, I don't know, you know, how she can persevere in this. Because he kept crying for a while. He didn't just stop crying when she came in, because he was having a tizzy. But love always perseveres. Love never fails. God never fails. God's perfect love never fails. It's important that we understand that. There are going to be times that the world hurts us, strikes at us, and we will be sitting there in shambles and in pain. But God never fails. And He's there for us. And He loves us. Pastor Paul read in 1 John 4:18 that perfect love drives out fear. When we fear things, that's not love. And more importantly, I can try to talk to my children and use fear tactic to get them to do what I want. And that's not love, because perfect love drives out fear. It doesn't instill fear. So God is love, and God's perfect love are these things, and we need to know them. It's important that we know them, brothers and sisters, because our identity is with Christ. John 15:12-13, let me read that to you again. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. A friend lays down his life for one another, and Jesus calls us his friend. He laid his life down for us. Before you and I were born, he laid his life down for us, and he called us friend. He already showed us what it was to show love. We need to emulate that, folks. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. So God is there always to love us. And we are to emulate that. We are to be ready to love at all times. When I think of people that lay down their lives, I think of, I don't know if you remember the third plane on 9/11, but those folks fought back to take control of the airplane so that it wouldn't hit a populated area. They thought of others. They did not want others to die because of the horrible situation that was going on. I think of teachers who died protecting students at mass school shootings. I think of men and women who die every day for our freedoms. I think of Wes Michaels. Wes Michaels. On June 17, 2010, I'm going to read what the newspaper said about Wes Michaels. When Wes Michaels turned 58 on Thursday, he didn't think too much about celebrating. That would wait until Father's Day, when the family would gather out at the place on Maple Lake in northwest Minnesota. He'd taken a rare day off from working at the Senex station in Mentor he had bought 4 years earlier when the tree nursery he had worked at for 40 years closed. But Michaels was not the kind of guy who liked to waste time. So he started to fix old lawnmowers while he kept an eye on the weather. He always watched the Weather Channel. On Thursday, he paid closer attention than usual to thunderstorms and hail that were rolling into his home in Polk County. They looked ugly. Sunday was going to be a big day. Michael's daughters, Amy, 32, Carrie, 29, and Heidi, 26, were coming out to honor him on Father's Day and celebrate his birthday. His four grandchildren would be there. They would put something on the grill for the kids and do some fishing. His wife, Kathy, was going to make his favorite meal, meatloaf and potato dumplings. Later, Wes would build a campfire and just sit and watch the kids play. As a gift, the girls planned to buy tickets to the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks minor league baseball team. But all of that wasn't to be. On Thursday, June 17, 2010, Wes Michaels made the greatest sacrifice a father could make when he died while saving Heidi from the tornado that demolished his gas station. Wes Michaels died when protecting his daughter from a tornado in Mentor, Minnesota on that Thursday. No one who knew him was surprised by his bravery. He had always been protective of his girls. When we'd go to visit him, we had to call him to let him know we got home okay, even though it was only 10 minutes away, said Heidi Michaels. He always looked after his kids and grandkids, so when he saw on the television the tornadoes were forming in the area, Wes Michaels jumped to his pickup truck and drove down to Senex to check on Heidi, who was managing the station. When he got there, a customer joked that he should be out having fun on his birthday. A few minutes later, a twister took aim at the station. Michaels ordered Heidi and the customers into the cooler as it hit. Michaels is a big man. He stood about 6 feet tall with a broad chest, a strong man who wasn't afraid to use his strength. And according to his former boss, Orville Lee, instinctively, he positioned his body above that of his daughters and he took the brunt of the force from the debris as the building crumbled around him. Heidi escaped with a few cuts and bruises, but Wes Michaels died. Wes Michaels knew that he was willing to sacrifice his life for another. He knew that putting his body on top of his daughters, that he was going to take the brunt of all of the debris and the tornado. Jesus knew going into the days before he died that he was going to take the suffering for all the sin of the world that had happened, that was happening, that was going to happen. And we need to understand that we are to emulate Christ's love. I'm not saying that we're going to go out and sacrifice our lives, but what we do is that we die to ourselves, as Pastor Paul mentioned earlier, for others. We sacrifice our time, our money, our possessions, and we sacrifice them for the greater good of others. We are to emulate God's love. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you so much for being the example of what love is. I do not deserve the love that you have shown me. I don't deserve you. We don't. But Lord, it touches me when I see my wife showing your love to my children. It touches me when I see my brothers and sisters in the church here showing your love, and it makes me more thankful. We need to be able to identify it, Lord, so we can share it with others and we can emulate you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.